In our warm-up session about tongues, we came up with quite a lot, didn't we? Let's just see one or two of them. Hold your tongue. The rough edge of your tongue. And actually, tongue twister and tongue tied. Actually, most of them were negative examples. And if you look at what we're going to see now, you'll see there's a lot of negative examples here in James. And we look at some of them, but first of all, let's look at something which is more challenging and in sort of more cautionary. And in verse 1 we have this word, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brother and sisters." Not many of you should presume to be teachers. A cautionary one, because not everyone is called to be a teacher. And what do I mean by that? James is referring to those who have been called to teach the Christian faith and teach about it. In Ephesians, Paul says this, "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people." For what? For works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And we are part of that body of Christ. And so the aim is to build us up. But the caution comes here in verse 1, that those who are called to be teachers will be judged more strictly. Why? Well, Paul's advice to Timothy was this. We have, as teachers, to set an example for the believers. To set an example for the believers. And he goes on to say, interestingly, the first one says, in speech. In speech. In their conduct, in their love, in their faith, perhaps showing how strong it is, and in purity, purity of life and thought. So, as it goes on, dear brothers and sisters, we need to pray regularly for those who have to exercise this ministry. Those who are called to do that, and actually to pray for them that their lives may reflect what I've just said, that Paul said to Timothy. Because if we don't pray for our leaders, we get what we don't get. Sorry about that weird phrase. But it is very essential. And my challenge is to you, do you pray every week for the one, you may not know who it is, that's going to minister God's word in this church and in others? We get what we pray for or what we don't pray for. What are we praying for them? We're praying for them so that they can get close to God, stay close to God, so that they can carry God's word out in the right kind of way, in such a way that God is glorified by the way they live and act and speak. And then we go on into verse 2, and it says this, "We all stumble in many ways." And here, James is referring to all of us because this letter is addressed to the whole of the believers. So we all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. Excuse me. And that last part of the verse seems a bit at odds, doesn't it? To say that we can be perfect, which seems at odds with another verse, which I'm going to quote from the book of Ecclesiastes, which many of us, most of us, are not terribly familiar with. And there in Ecclesiastes it says this: there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. That's what the writer there says. Paul echoes this in Romans: there is no one righteous, not even one. Well, how does that resonate then with the other part of this verse? Because it says, I've just quoted it, those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. Well, we may be able to keep things all right and, as it were, perfect for a while, but I guess you can't do that every day, all day, every week, every year. But I'll come back to that a bit later. So then comes the references to the tongue from verse 5 onwards. And you may have picked up from the reading there are lots and lots of references to the tongue. It makes great boast. Do you know, I'm the best teacher that's ever been. My class is brilliant because of the way I do it. Well, I hope I never did that, but you never know, do you? Great boast. And it's like a fire. Like a fire, like a little spark that spreads a flame through a forest and sets it alight. I actually once, as a young person, was on holiday at a Christian place, and there was a fire in the area, and we had to go and help try and put the fire out. That was a fairly minor one, but it's quite scary. And this is what the tongue does. It spreads like a fire, and it's a world of evil among the parts of the body. Why? It corrupts the whole person. Isn't James hitting hard? It does this to me, it does that to you, it does this. Excuse me. So it corrupts the whole person. No one can tame it, says James. No one can tame it. It is a restless evil. A restless evil. Full of deadly poison. Aren't they hard-hitting words? And we can also curse humans who have been made in the likeness of God. Interesting that James here uses the word likeness, because if you go back to Genesis, it says that Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. And the hint here is this: that when they sinned, they marred that image. And they were now in likeness of God. We're not exactly in the image that God made them. Excuse me. So what an avalanche of words and negative statements from James here. What the tongue is capable of, and what you and I can be capable of, doing these terribly wrong things, hurting people with our words. James says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. I have to say that we all have to admit that we have used our language in the wrong ways from time to time. Language which has hurt others, even those closest to us. I've done that. I'm sure you've done that. And the challenge for us is how we deal with this, how we deal with this tongue, which I've already said, James says no one can tame. Well, let's move on to something that's a bit more positive now. In verse 3 onwards, we have this: as the tongue is small, so is the bit we put into a horse's mouth. The bit enables the rider to control the horse, as we have seen in the Olympics through the dressage and through the show jumping, how well the riders control the horse with just a tiny thing, a little bit in a horse's mouth. And then James goes on to show other examples about a rudder, a small thing which controls a big sailing ship. I don't know whether you've ever sailed, but for those of us who have sailed or punted, we know that the rudder is very small or the pole is very slim. And that's the thing that controls a sailing boat or a dinghy or whatever. Excuse me. And then, of course, James goes on to say we can praise the Lord with our tongues. We can praise the Lord as we have done already and will continue to do so in words and song. We can praise the Lord. And with our tongues, we can build up people. We can encourage them. We can support them. And that's very important, as those that have been parents, to know with children. We can down them by saying the wrong words. We can encourage them with the right kinds of words. And that's the same for us, to help other people, to help Christians and indeed non-Christians. But for those of us who have sailed, know that if you push that rudder a bit too far over or that pole a bit out, you can stumble and cause trouble. So with the tongue, it's little, but if we're not careful, we can we can cause trouble. So, how do we keep our bodies in check? Let's come back to that. If we have given our lives to Christ, then we can know this. We can be sure of this, that the Holy Spirit can change and influence our lives and our tongues too. Can change us in the right kind of way. But we don't always need to keep silent so that we don't mess up. You see, we need sometimes to challenge things which are wrong. It may be to challenge a fellow believer. It may be to challenge non-believers, people that we work with or meet regularly and so on. Jesus did this. He challenged the hypocrisy of the rabbis, the teachers of the day, and the Pharisees. He said, "You are hypocrites. You say this, but do that." Well, sometimes we may have to challenge people. But the important thing here is how we do this, how we speak. Paul says to the Ephesians, talks about speaking the truth in love. It's the way we do it. So, if I want to say to somebody, "I really don't think you should do that." Hey, you don't do it like that, you know. I don't do it like that. I have to approach it in a sensitive way. That's the same for all of us. So we can build up, we do this, so we can build up the body of Christ. That's what Paul says. That's the context. And it's also a good thing to actually think before you speak. So often we don't. I know it's easy to say me to say that, but it's also good to actually perhaps pray before you respond to someone. God, please help me. Ruth, before the service, prayed a quick prayer that we needed for God to help us. So in all these aspects, it's our relationship with God through Jesus that's important. My relationship with him each day. The need for me, the need for you to be close to him every day. So it's so important that we actually start the day with him, to be guided by him in it, so that our words and our actions reflect his love for this world. Amen. And I'm just going to pray a prayer paraphrasing Paul's words to the Colossian church. May our conversations be full of grace so that we know how to answer everyone. Amen.